Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, in quarter number one, we previewed Penn State's bowl game with Arkansas. We talked about when Penn State has the ball, Arkansas on defense. Now let's flip it around the other way. Arkansas with the ball, Penn State on defense. And based on the quantity and the quality of people that are sitting out, with this being the case, Arkansas with the ball, this is probably the more interesting side of it. Let's start with the Arkansas side. Arkansas runs a pretty balanced offense if you go by their statistics, passing the ball, running the ball. But they lost a huge weapon, didn't they?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that they're a balanced offense. They are a run-first offense, and everything that they do is built off of the run, because I was looking at some of this yesterday. Almost 50% of their passes are on play action. So it's the run game and then the fake run game. And on top of that, what they do in the passing game, a lot of that is the trick plays. The subterfuge of, we're going to have a jet sweep that we don't hand off to, but then we throw a screen to as it formation into the boundary, or if you're then one-on-one with a guy on the other side, we're going to throw him that ball. And a lot of it is just based off the running game and the screen game and a lot of conservative things. This is not an aggressive offense by any means at all. But, Treylon Burks, their number one receiver, opted out of the game. And it's not, if you think that Jahan Dotson not being in the game is a big deal for Penn State, 65 receptions for Burke. The next guy has 21, and the guy after that has 18. So this is an offense that runs the ball, and then they throw to Burks, and that's about it. So that is a huge problem for them in terms of he was another potential first-round pick, which is why he's opting out of the game. Super talented, big, fast, physical, breaks tackles, good deep receiver. I think, again, the short yardage plays, the screen plays, the bubble plays, all of those things you can make up for when it comes to who you throw that to. It's going to be the downfield effectiveness of this offense, and if they even have it. They're decent receivers outside of Burks, but nobody that really caught my eye in terms of, okay, that's the next guy, that's the next game-changing player. And Penn State, despite losing Brisker, still brings back the majority of their secondary. That is a strength of the unit. And, I don't know that that's something that should challenge them. And does that change the mathematics of what they can do with stuffing the box and playing with extra bodies, even if they aren't the best players that they could field based on who opted out?
And as far as the running game for Arkansas, again, just looking at their statistics, it looks like they have three different running backs who split the load almost evenly as far as the number of yards that they gained for the season, and they also have a quarterback who's a threat to run the ball, correct?
Yeah, and it's a little bit misleading. KJ Jefferson is the lead running back. KJ Jefferson is what makes the entire offense go. His threat as a runner is what opens up everything for Treylon Smith, Raheem Sanders, and Dominique Johnson, who are that three-headed monster you talk about. Three guys with almost 500 yards rushing each. Johnson and Sanders are a combined 4 yards under having 500 yards rushing. Then they got another halfback with 200. So this is a run-heavy team. They're a zone-run team. And unlike Penn State, when they run their quarterback powers and counters, KJ Jefferson at 240-plus pounds, physical, gifted runner with good vision, that's a real threat on the backside of all of these zone actions that take the offense and the defense one way, and then you've got a one-on-one with a tank quarterback coming the other way. I think in a lot of ways, this is what Penn State could be in the future with the zone schemes and what Phil Troutwein and Mike Yurcich want from what I've seen under Penn State. But this is, one of those things they're still trying to develop. Offensive line is good at blocking. The center, I think, to me, is the most talented of the blockers up front. Ricky Stromberg, he is not probably technically at the level of Linderbaum, the center from Iowa, but as far as physical tenacity, power at the point of attack, and just throwing himself into players and defensive tackles, a similar situation of what you got from Iowa earlier in the season as far as a zone-blocking team with the ability to reach and play aggressively on the interior. Overall, a very good technical run-blocking unit, and a lot of what you would expect, too. If you're a good run-blocking team, you got big guys that are good at run-blocking, technically and physically, but not good pass protectors, especially on the edge. So that's going to be a big part of the game, is get them out of that. Without Treylon Burks there, can you force them into third and long and then put KJ Jefferson everything on his shoulders, because there's nobody that's going to break a tackle short of the first down and bail you out? So stopping the run, stopping KJ Jefferson is the number one priority, because he's the best football player they have. And their whole season on offense has been based around him as a thrower and as a runner.
All right, let's look at how Penn State stops this. We already know, yes, Brisker on the back end is out for the game. Two linebackers, Ellis Brooks, Brandon Smith, are out. And we're guessing Ibukete, as of this recording, he hasn't announced yet. And how about Derek Tangelo? Is there a chance he's out also? How much tougher does that make it for Penn State to stop the running game?
A lot. I mean, there's no way around the fact that three of your best run stuffers are all out of the game, including the guy who was very good at being that extra player in the box in Brisker. He spent the second half of the season at the line of scrimmage, sometimes playing middle linebacker based on adjustments and motions by the offense and how that affects your run gap fit stuff. So not having him is a big deal. And Brandon Smith and Ellis Brooks, especially Ellis Brooks, is a big loss in this game. If Derek Tangelo were to opt out, that's kind of where I think it's getting a little bit silly, is that I didn't think he's had that good of a season where he shouldn't play more and show that he can do the things he needs to do against this particular team, because he didn't do well in some of the games previously. Show growth and development at that position. That being said, he's played a lot of football, so if he's just going to rest on what he's done, okay. But I don't know that he's as big of a loss in terms of his overall production. It's just another veteran player that knows how to play football and can, for the most part, be where he needs to be when it comes to his gap responsibility. And gap responsibility is absolutely the number one thing against this offense. Like I said before, they're run heavy, but the way they stress you is by deception, jet sweeps, players in motion that mess with your run fits, that make you make business decisions about how you want to stop some of those additional parts of the run game, where you can hand off on a jet sweep or a pop pass, or you can hand off to the running back or keep it and have the quarterback run backside on read option. They have every wrinkle that you can have in the run game. They have all of that. So you need to be, as a linebacker, you need to be on your assignment really well. You have to know what you're looking at. You have to be anticipatory. You have to ignore all of those window dressing on running plays and make sure that you're stopping those running backs when you get a chance to, because what they do and all of those yards and yards before contact and everything is all based on the stress that they put on you, not necessarily the overwhelming talent of those running backs. So tackle them when you get the opportunity to, and hit KJ Jefferson as many times as you can, which is hard to do because he's a good runner and he doesn't take a ton of really hard shots. So that's where I want to know which linebackers they line up where. That's going to be a big thing of how they adjust to those losses.
Let's talk about the personnel itself, because Penn State, they do have some decisions to make here. We expect Ibukete to sit out, his draft status, all of those things. I mentioned Tangelo because he was significant by his absence when they took the pictures when the team flew in. You know,
yeah,
all the guys who weren't there, Dotson and Brisker, have been opting out. So that's why I bring up Tangelo. Now, in replacing everyone who's missing, they have some options of how to do this. They've been playing Lucchetti at defensive end, but when Brooks was out for half a game, Lucchetti could become a linebacker. Weakens the defensive line, but you add him as an experienced linebacker. You have Sutherland, who's a potential safety, also a potential linebacker. The fact that you're concerned about the Arkansas running game, does that influence how you go about filling in for the people who are missing, T. Frank?
Yes, and I hate both of those options, you know, based on film, because the other part about Jesse Luketa is I think it's very overrated, the idea that he is a hybrid player. He does not play well at linebacker. We saw that the year before. We've seen it. You know, he just wasn't exposed as much in passing situations. And honestly, in run situations where, yes, most of the time he's getting to his spot, but he's a guy that guesses, at least based on what I've seen from him in 2020 and some of the situations in 2021, he does not play well in space. And this offense puts you in binds where you have to make decisions in space. If it were me, his best strength and what is been what has helped Penn State so far this season has been his pursuit from the backside or his ability to pressure up the front and force things back on the front side as a penetrating defensive end. Keep him there, keep your strength, and then rely on your development. Kobe King, Tyler Elsden, Charlie Katcher. So those guys have to step up. To me, I want my linebackers playing linebacker, and I want my defensive ends playing defensive end. Moving Curtis Jacobs is another thing that I think long-term is going to happen for Penn State, where there's a conversation to be had about moving him to the will position and then having another Sam linebacker. But for this game, I just think you want to keep your strengths in place, and you want to have Curtis Jacobs on the field side chasing down all of those plays and having him shut down those window dressing things that you can hand off to the running back or the receiver in motion. I want my strengths, and then we'll roll the dice on whether or not those young linebackers can come in and play up to that level. That would be what I would do. But if they do move Luketa, he has to be lights out run stuffer, get this offense in third and long. Just no question about it. Absolutely, that's a must, because if he's playing in coverage, Penn State they've lost that particular battle.
You've already alluded to some of this, but I'll ask the question anyway. What are the keys to victory for Penn State? What's the keys for Arkansas going into the game?
Well, they're very similar. Arkansas's offense goes three and out quite a bit if you're just a functional run defense. So just be a functional run defense. And I know that sounds simple, but when it comes to the players that we mentioned that aren't going to be on the football field, a lot of that is what made Penn State go, where Ellis Brooks was making up for guys that lost their gap. He would technically be wrong, but he's filling the open gap. That was a lot of what he was doing in the second half of the season. For Penn State, they need to make sure that they just cover every gap and string these plays out and then rally and tackle. And again, that's why I would have my fastest flowing linebackers and defensive ends and everybody who has those talents, I'd keep them at those positions with Curtis Jacobs and Arnold Ebikidi. But Nick Tarburton, players like that, they're going to have a good game. And then both those young tackles who played well down the stretch, they've got to play well in this game. You know, you've had half a season. Now, you're no longer young players. You've played enough snaps that we need to see a progression in you if you're Penn State and the defensive line. So those guys have to play well. And then from Arkansas's perspective, it's just do what we do, let KJ Jefferson cook. And in third and long situations, he is a good quarterback. That's the sticky part about how it's everything's on him. He's a great quarterback throwing down the field.
Very good, T. Frank. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around, quarter number three. We're going to ask T. Frank.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.